T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Well, it is Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN. So, David, big concert coming up at the stadium, and without naming names, because we're not going to do that, I happen to know the guy who's making the costumes for Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Yeah, you know, they're talking, what did they say, 50 tractor trailers?
That's insane.
That really is.
50 tractor trailers.
And now think about this. You know, Shays, Phantom of the Opera, all these, you know, major touring Broadway shows come to Buffalo all the time. Miss Saigon has a helicopter that comes from the rises, the chandelier.
And then there's all these kids hanging off of it, and then it crashes just like...
But the point is, there's all these Broadway shows that come through Buffalo. None of them. Two, maybe. Les Mis, maybe two tractor trailers.
Yeah.
50 tractor trailers for a one time only, one day.
Okay, to me, that's absolutely insane. But you know what? You know who else has the same kind of rig is Pink Floyd? Any of the massive, massive groups, Beyonce, Jay-Z, Pink Floyd. I don't think they, you know what? Even with Pink Floyd, I don't think that there's any way they occupy 50 tractor trailers. No. Of course, they're not touring currently. You know, you'll see Gilmore or Roger Waters on the road, but I think we've probably seen the last of Pink Floyd together probably several years ago.
He's only allowed to play one album from Pink Floyd live. He can't do any of the other albums.
Right.
So if you want to see Pink, if you love Pink Floyd and you're into watching an anti-Semite sing, Roger Waters would be your ticket. But the idea here is that he can only do one Pink Floyd album.
Oh, David, he's not really anti-Semitic. You're totally misinterpreting the pigs with the stars of David flying. You're misinterpreting that.
But if you're going to go out and see Beyonce and Jay-Z this Saturday. By the way, who opens for who? I mean, I would think that Jay-Z would be the bigger draw, right?
I have no idea.
I mean, or they're on together. No, Beyonce is the bigger? Wow, so Beyonce is the
headline.
Well,
she was in Austin Powers 3.
Well, she's got a huge following, and, you know, that... But the idea that 50 tractor trailers, there's got to be, you know, pyrotechnics and different costume changes and you name it, but how many... I mean, that's like a Super Bowl halftime.
No, there's got to be like 1,000 people in the 50 tractor trailers.
Right. And you know that they make all the recording artists, they make their money on the road. This is where they cash in.
You have to now, because with the digital music has changed everything.
Nobody cares. I mean, no one's downloading albums. Matter of fact, they're not even making albums anymore. It's just individual singles. They throw it up on 99 cents, $1.10, whatever it is.
And if you're lucky, people actually pay.
Right.
If you're lucky.
Right. Remember, how long ago was it? 99 that we were talking about Napster and music.
LimeWire.
Right. Everything was downloaded free, and then Metallica and Lars ruined all that.
Well, hey, look, I understand where the artists are coming from. It takes a lot of skill. It takes a lot of time, takes a lot of effort, a lot of energy, a lot of creativity to put your stuff out there. And you just can't have people downloading it for free. Unless, of course, that's your business model, which I think more and more people are realizing that it's better to leave your videos up on YouTube than it is to have the lawyers immediately issue the cease and desist to get them down. And some bands, like the Eagles, for example, they're absolutely anal about their stuff being live. Unless they personally have sanctioned it, they are anal about Eagles performances being on YouTube. There are still a bunch of Eagles performances live that you can watch on YouTube. Like there's the Capitol Center one from the 1970s with Randy Meisner's stunning version of Take It to the Limit, but the Eagles are among the bands that are very, very serious about making sure that copyright infringement is guarded against. And also, believe it or not, Bob Dylan is positively anal about his stuff, especially his born-again Christian stuff being out there for anybody to just peruse at will.
Yeah, we don't. Well, you know, someone wrote in that the 50 trailers are all full of shoes.
Oh, so in other words, that's like every woman everywhere. So it's not really unusual.
But think about that, though. It, you know, just the setting it up. Like wrestling, for example, when the WWE comes to Buffalo, they construct a ring. There's the ropes. There's a whole process. And if there's a hockey game, you know, maybe the day before, that, you know, it takes a tremendous amount of effort and manpower to turn that hockey rink into a you know, a basketball court or into a wrestling ring. But it doesn't take 50 tractor trailers to do it.
But I wonder what security is going to be like because, you know, in my concert attending life, and I know that we're going to get into this later on in Bowerly and Bellavia, but in my concert attending life, I've noticed A, an increase overall in security, and B, some artists are a lot more anal than other artists about security. For example, you go to see Ringo Starr. And it was the first time in my life, David, and this was at Art Park maybe 5 years ago. Ringo Starr used to be the drummer for the Beatles, just in case you don't know that. I actually saw bomb-sniffing dogs at the Ringo Starr show. And they weren't just around the stage. They were everywhere at Art Park. They were even up in the box area, the bomb-sniffing dogs. And then, of course, everybody who was holding something on them immediately turned around and walked in the other direction for some reason, and you know, they didn't want to get near the dogs. It was kind of funny to watch. Every time you'd see somebody looking at one of the shepherds and then, oh, crap, and then you'd see them, like, turn around and walk in the other direction. They didn't have a bomb on them, but they did have something on them that they were concerned the dog might detect because those canines are really, really good at sniffing out contraband.
I'll tell you, you don't want to mess around with, even at the Bills game, you walk in now, e-cigarette, you know, cell phone, whatever it is, you pull it all out of your pocket, there's, you know, Erie County bomb, Erie County's EOD bomb disposal unit, they're at every Sabres, Bills game, everything. They're,
but you know, that's the price we pay, David, because one of the things we're going to talk about today, the sleeper cells in the United States, and Iran is starting to talk big again.
Right. Iran, well, they've always talked big. I think now what we, the difference between the old days and today is that they have $150 billion of our money because, I mean, that money was seized. I mean, they're going to make the argument that it was Iranian money that was seized, but it was seized because they are a state sponsor of international terror. And, you know, one of the things that the Bush administration cut off, you don't see 10,000 Katyusha rockets raining down on Israel every day. There was no situation in Yemen. You didn't have the problems that you have in Libya today that you had before. And now that they took that money, what did they do? They put it into what the gross domestic product of Iran is terrorism. That's what it is. And the people of Iran are every day. You don't see this because it's clamped down by the regime in Iran, but the people are actively trying to overthrow their leaders, the mullahs. They want to get rid of the Ayatollah.
And that's the shame of it, David. And not to pile on Barack Obama, but Obama had an opportunity to make some statements and show some real tangible support when the movement actually looked as though it might bear fruit against the Islamic fundamentalists who run the nation of Iran. You remember those days where there were actually organized groups, there were actually organized protests, and all they wanted was some encouragement. All they wanted was some moral support and maybe some material support, but they couldn't even get words. They couldn't even get moral support from the Obama administration. I suspect if the same movement happened today in Iran, the response from our White House might be a little bit different in terms of tangible support and in terms of moral support.
If you went back, you know, if we had the time machine and you look at the Bush administration, 2002, if there was a country to invade and it was about the war on terrorism, Iran was certainly, I think, the choice over Iraq, only because of the fact that you would have been able to marginalize Saddam, hopefully get him on your side. But the problem in Iraq came from Iran. It was the Interior Minister Department that was bringing in Iranian nationals and Revolutionary Guard. And, you know, the idea that you could, you know, get in a firefight in Iraq and be shooting at Iranian soldiers that were actually carrying ID cards and dog tags from Iran. It was pretty brazen, and it has done nothing. But Yemen is on fire. Iraq, all the problems they have there with ISIS and everything else, they're all being, you know, the vacuum that was created was created by Iran.
I don't think people care about terrorism anymore. I think 9/11 is a distant memory, and I honestly don't believe that most Americans give a rat's behind about terrorism. Let's face it, how many school shootings, how many mass shootings have we had, which have nothing to do with Islamic fundamentalists and have everything to do with crazy Americans, have happened between September 11, 2001 and August of 2018? Now, we're going to get into all this stuff coming up on News Radio 930 WBEN, but, you know, we mentioned concerts, and we just happen to have a pair of tickets right now to give you. Caller number 9 will see Fifth Dimension Thursday, August 30th at 3 p.m. at the Falls View Casino, valued at $38, must be 19 or older, have an enhanced license or passport to cross border. General contest rules apply. Caller 9 at 644-9875. That's 644-9875. And speaking of contests, never clean your gutters again. You want to go to WBEN.com through August 26th and get in to win a gutter system from Leaf Guard of Lake Erie, the number one choice in Western New York for protecting your gutters. So are you concerned about terrorism? Do you get the sense that most Americans are concerned about terrorism? Now, when I use the word terrorism, there's all different kinds of terrorism. But for the purposes of our discussion today, because Iran is rattling its sabers once again, and not the Buffalo Sabres, we're talking about Islamic fundamentalist terrorism. So that is not to say that there isn't other terrorism in the world, David, because the guy in Las Vegas, for whom we're never going to know the exact motive why he killed all those innocent people, in my view, he was a terrorist. The school shooting people, they are also terrorists. Now, they may not be acting to advance a political or religious belief, cause, or agenda, but in their heart, they are trying de facto to cause terror, and of course, are succeeding when they do it.
They are, and the other thing is that, you know, you realize how easy it is, especially if you're insane, and you want to make a difference, you want to go out and take as many innocent people with you. Terrorists have created a pretty good blueprint of how to do that. And, you know, you talk about, well, it's guns, it's bombs. Well, we've seen knife attacks all over Europe, London, car attacks. We saw one
with a Ford Fiesta.
Well, again, it just shows that if you have that hate in your heart and that's your intent to hurt, you're going to do it with anything you have. But we didn't think about these things. I mean, would you argue that the world, you know, back in 2001, we had, you know, that, remember the airplane that crashed in New York City after, it was a month after 9/11.
Yeah.
It was like in the boroughs.
One that was going to the Dominican Republic, I think.
Right. And it was just a plane crash. It landed in a populated area, but
That was the plane. The NTSB ruled that that particular flight hit wake turbulence from a previous flight.
And so,
obviously it lost its aerodynamic stability and went down.
And so now we're thinking, automatically, they're back. Here come the terrorists. And so for a while, we were inspecting planes and making sure that, you know, there wasn't a possibility of luggage blowing up or any of the things that we've seen maybe in with the Russian situation over the Ukraine, where there was a plane shot down, there was a bomb that went off. We had the missing flight over the Indian Ocean. But in the United States, Richard Reed, 2003, when he had the shoe bomber? He was on a flight from Detroit. There was the underwear bomber. There was, you know, the reason why you can't bring any beverage into the airport, one that you don't buy after you go through security, is because all of the threats. Why do we open up our laptops? Why do we show our electronics? Intelligence comes out that, you know, they're working on putting some sort of explosive in a laptop. All of a sudden, it changes the entire trajectory of what TSA and Homeland Security have to worry about. We take off our shoes because one idiot tried to light his, you know, blow up a plane with his shoes. You know, and you've got the underwear. That's how we got the full, you know, scale, you know, what is it, 4D. You walk in, you put your hands up. That all comes down to attempted attacks and intelligence that leads us to believe that these terrorists are constantly evolving.
Well, our telephone number is 803-0930. That's 803-0930. Star 930 is free on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. We do have a winner of those tickets to see Fifth Dimension. We'll have another pair of tickets to give away later on News Radio 930 WBEN. But how concerned are you about terrorism in the United States? And generally, of course, when we think about terrorism, we think about militant Islamic terrorism. But again, as I said, between September 11, 2001 and August of 2018, David, we've seen terrorists, but they have had nothing to do with Islam. They've had, and I'm talking about the United States and the mass shootings in particular. Typically, these are crazed American individuals who I think have one common denominator. Actually, two common denominators. Number one is mental illness. Number two is just absolute evil, which we, of course, can never list as a cause because it's just too, it's too nebulous for a lot of people to wrap their fingers, their hands, and their minds around the idea that something could be evil.
A lot of great work was done during the Iraq War to identify what causes a person to want to, you know, put an IED on the side of the road. A lot of it was unemployment, to be totally honest. There were reluctant people that were just taking money to dig a hole, place a battery near a artillery round. And then, of course, you have the extremists. But, you know, the thing, the problem with once a vacuum is created and you start to see how you can take the U.S. military and put them in a position where they're constantly, you know, looking out for what's on the side of the road. Every time you're thinking about a threat level, you have less time to focus on the mission. This is a distraction, of course. You know, in Vietnam, the helicopter in Vietnam was a huge asset. It could take you from place to place and move you around. And the reason why we stuck to the ground was because of the threat of surface-to-air missiles and taking down those helicopters like we saw in Mogadishu in 93. But again,
Black Hawk down.
If you are disgruntled or you're pro-environment or you're some radical on any stretch, you know, Al-Qaeda and ISIS and Iran, they've given a blueprint of how you can, you know, completely terrorize a population.
See, this is why, though, David, we, you know, despite the divisiveness in America, despite the acrimony, despite the hatred, we have got to, I would think, unite in some sense against a common enemy. You know, even the most bitter enemies, David, can manage to put down their weapons against each other and unite against a common foe. You know, back in the Chinese, before the Chinese communists were in power, there was a civil war in China, and you had the forces of Chiang Kai-shek and the forces of Mao Zedong, the communists and the Chinese nationalists, okay? The Japanese invaded Manchuria, and despite the fact that the commies and the Chiang Kai-shek people were going at each other tooth and nail, they were going after each other in the most vicious ways possible, once the Japanese got into the picture, those two sides that were a lot further apart than the Trumpists and the never-Trumpists were actually able to unite against a common foe. Now, unfortunately, it didn't work out very well because the Japanese were a juggernaut at this point, but all of us as Americans need to be vigilant against terrorism, and we've got to obviously put America first.
Well, look, the big problem that we face today are these former terrorist organizations like Hamas that become political organizations. They shed blood, the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt that sort of, you know, was the grandfather of Hamas. We've seen it now with the FARC rebels in Colombia. They were at war, the havoc they created in Venezuela and Colombia. Now they want to put down their guns and they want to elect people to Congress, essentially. We're seeing it with the Taliban. The Taliban wants to become a political movement in Afghanistan. Do you allow former terrorists to just put their arms down and say, okay, we'd like to represent the people now? There seems like you if you're going to have a peace accord with a former terrorist group, that you can't just forgive the bloodshed that they, you know, inflicted on the people for 10 years.
No, there's precedent for that. I'd hate to bring it up. Well, we got to take a break here on News Radio 930 WBEN. It is Bowerly and Bellavia. Are you still concerned about terrorism? Some of us still remember that day, September 11, 2001, as a watershed moment in our lives. Bowerly and Bellavia, are you still concerned about terrorism? Do you believe there are sleeper cells in the United States that are poised to strike? We need also to get into Governor Cuomo's quote-unquote inartful comments about America not being great. Those aren't going away, David. And let's go to Michael in Buffalo on WBEN. Michael, you're on Bowerly and Bellavia.
Yeah, I just, I worry about terrorism, but I think it's the U.S. government that's the one of the greatest terrorists on the planet. So they're the one I worry about the most.
In what sense?
Well, in every sense of the word. They've sold, if you go to any city, especially inner city in this country, they're not American anymore. the stores are owned by people that are not American. The people that shop at those stores are not American, but they're paying for it in many ways with, you know, public money. So
you're saying domestic terrorism as opposed to foreign terrorism. There might be influence by foreigners, but you're worried about people that live in the United States that would want to, you know, use the ideology of foreign terrorists here.
Blind. You'd have to be blind not to be in the city of Buffalo. I grew up in the inner city of Buffalo, and I've seen what it was when I grew up and I was a little kid and what it is now. It's not Buffalo. It's Kandahar or something, Somalia or something. Not Buffalo. And those people are not American. And my terrorist government robs us to pay for those everything under the sun for those people for free.
Well, is it the terrorist government or is it the people that support the politicians who want things like sanctuary cities? Is it the people who want politicians who don't believe in borders?
Filling your cities with foreigners, that's what you're going to get. And if you keep selling, you know, it's, again, they violate separation of church and state. They because it's the church's job to provide charity, not the state. So, you know, the bottom line is I consider the U.S. government the greatest terrorist on the earth. And if I hate them, it's no doubt that foreign countries were meddling in all their affairs, that they hate them, too.
Do you think that it is the current administration, or do you trace it only back to previous administrations?
No, I trace it really back to really probably the early 1900s when the country was pretty much ransacked by international bankers. But it's just progressed since then, and we've invited destruction, and all the nations are lining up to do so. And I just think it's sad because, you know, because we have arguments about, you know, somebody's right to murder a baby. We invent arguments about stuff like that. You know, instead of, you know, a right to, instead of the right to,
Well, you think that's an invented argument, whether or not life begins at the moment of conception, and then what becomes, what is the legal standing of the fetus?
No, I don't think that that's a valid argument to have. I think that's a foolish argument because it's an argument. We have a right to life in America. You see, a right to life from our creator.
But isn't that worth fighting for? Isn't that worth debating?
It's worth fighting for. It's worth fighting.
I mean, you're more. It sounds like you're more concerned about 7-Elevens than you are human life. To be honest,
it's worth me to see Russia defeat people like that because I don't care to be on the side of a murderer, no matter who they are.
There's a lot here. I mean, I'm. So you're saying that the United States government is responsible for meddling in other people's countries. And then the other side of the argument is that they bring people...
And we're running this fake, phony, communist attack on Trump that...
We're getting confused here. Let's focus back on... We're talking about terrorism, okay? So if the United States goes on a foreign adventure and finds itself in Libya trying to overthrow Gaddafi, a vacuum is created, Al-Qaeda, ISIS... Islamic extremists, they fill that vacuum. We then bring folks in a civil war, whether it's in Libya, Somalia, Syria, we bring them to the United States because, you know, they're fleeing that conflict. You're saying that that makes us more susceptible to terrorism.
Right. No, we've turned real money into debt slavery. We're the terrorists. And
I'm just not following.
I mean, there's a legitimate argument to make that, you know, American adventurism creates a vacuum, and that vacuum, when America leaves that footprint, more extremists will fill it. And when you bring a population over, you don't vet them, you don't know what their intentions are, you could possibly have individuals that still hold animosity towards the United States.
You mean the Poland car strategy?
Well, but it's a lot of Republicans support that as well. It's frightening because you don't really know what you're getting. But what I'm trying to get at is to imply that the United States is doing intentionally to bring terrorists here to kill us. You know, I think that's a little far-fetched.
Well, I don't think, I mean, in the great scheme of things, the idea that it's a made-up debate, you know, between the so-called right to life and the so-called right for a woman to do anything she wants to her body, I don't think that's a made-up argument. I don't think that that is something that is an artificially created debate.
Yeah, I don't even know how abortion got into this. Are we talking about aborting terrorists?
An interesting ethical dilemma. If you knew that it was going to be a terrorist, would you support abortion of Osama bin Laden?
No, listen, I don't. We have individuals that have been taught one thing their entire lives. And it's not the responsibility of the American government to go into these communities and cultures in the Middle East and remind them that, you know, we're not a threat. We actually have to put skin in the game. You have to put investments. And when you look at these areas like Pakistan and Syria and everything else, do they need the Department of Defense? They do. But they also need the Department of Education and the Department of Agriculture and all the other assets of the foreign government. The biggest problem we made is we made the war on terror 100% the responsibility of the State Department and the Department of Defense. And if we would have gone into Afghanistan, and again, how many of these individuals in Afghanistan just want to support the poppy crop? Because that is what's making them money. You've got an opioid crisis across the globe. And these guys are getting money for their crop that they're not going to get for corn. They're not going to get for soy. They're not going to get for any other crop that they could grow in that terrain. So, you know, how many of these folks are reluctantly helping the enemy on the battlefield because they're trying to feed their family? Those are the people you leverage away. Those are the folks you wedge away from extremists.
And how do you wedge them away from extremists? You give them briefcases of money.
Well, again, though, look at what happened in Iraq. When you saw the sons of Anbar, the folks that were literally fighting. Understand what we asked of our military in 2006. Could you imagine going into the Pacific campaign in 1943 and telling our men and women who are over there fighting, going island hopping, yesterday you were fighting against the Imperial Japanese, today they're your ally, we're going after the Nazis. Well, wait a second, these guys killed my friends, I don't trust them, you're just going to ask me to lock shields with these guys and fight with them. That's exactly what the U.S. military asked Marines and sailors and soldiers in 2006 to 2011, I should say 2010, when we locked together in Anbar province. We chiseled away Al-Qaeda's hold of Anbar by telling these guys, we're going to pay you a salary. You can't trust your government. The Iraqi government's not going to pay you on time. There's going to be some corrupt guy that's going to take all your money. And what was happening was a general, you know, would be paid $100,000. He'd pay his guys $20. And he'd take the rest of it and run off. So we stood in between those guys. We paid them directly. We put them in our military. We trained them. Some of them still had allegiance to the enemy and killed us on these green on blue situations. But the vast majority of the success that we had before Obama pulled us out was because we had these guys on the payroll. They were on our side against Al-Qaeda, and we turned the tide that way. It's a lot of this happens to do with security, feeding your family, and realizing that America has to be looked at. When you go into a tribal society, you don't get a European parliament. It's the most confusing government in the world. If you're in a tribal culture, you become the strongest tribe. And that was what counterinsurgency was all about. And it was successful in areas of Vietnam. It was successful in Iraq and Afghanistan. The problem is that is a long mission. Once you broke it, you are there until it's fixed. And I think the American people just don't want to be in endless wars. They don't want to, send their sons and daughters two generations removed into combat situations.
All right. Are you concerned about terrorism in the United States still? 803-0930, *930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. 803-0930 is the landline, *930 is the cell phone, and the toll-free number from anywhere is 1-800-616-WBEN. One of the reasons we're talking about this today, David, is DHS is concerned about some Iranian-backed sleeper cells that are in the United States, and they are poised to attack targets at the order, whim, and caprice of their overlords and masters in Tehran.
I don't know how you can. I mean, this is what Hezbollah does. This is what Iran has done for years. You can look at the film Spielberg made, Munich. Once you've created a terrorist vacuum, these guys, they go wherever they can go to hide out, and you're chasing someone who did one mission one time, and there's 50 other guys behind them that are ready to do the same thing. But look, I mean, if you're living in the United States and, you know, there's an opportunity to make money, there's an opportunity to, you know, you feel that you still have an allegiance towards another country, another flag, or it's a religious fervor, you're telling me that it's an impossible. Where are these terrorists coming from if they're not directly trained? In the old days, they'd go to Somalia and they'd get their training. It's so easy to look at someone's passport and where they're traveling and just simply ask them, what was your business? You lived in Minnesota. You moved to Minnesota when you were 6 years old. Why are you traveling to Pakistan and Somalia? I mean, that's a legitimate question that the Obama administration would not allow our government to ask. I mean, you're talking about vetting as if you're, you know, going through DNA or you're doing facial recognition. You're simply asking, I've seen that you've traveled to three other countries that are in the middle of a civil war. Can I just simply ask what you're doing? Is there someone that could verify what you're doing? And if you can't answer those questions, you're not allowed to come back in the country.
Seems like it makes a lot of sense. Seems like common sense to me, but then again, that's me. Are you concerned about terrorism in the United States? DHS concerned that there are Iranian sleeper cells in the United States that are ready to do damage against us. You know, David, I have to believe, in all honesty, that with Donald Trump in the White House, Iran, if they can be traced directly to any terror attack that takes place in the United States, it's going to be an altogether different and, dare I say, asymmetrical response to something Iran does than it might have been under George Bush or under Barack Obama. Right or wrong?
Absolutely. Well, I hope that's the whole reason why we elected Donald Trump, to be honest with you. I think that even though we don't talk about terrorism every single day, when you peel back this onion of the Iran deal, Tom, there's so many things about this. I mean, the banks that were asked to launder money, why are you sending pallets of cash? There is never a logical reason why you have to send pallets of cash on a C-130 into Iran in a late night, early in the morning, the way that this thing was kept secret. You still see John Brennan, all the folks that were connected to this deal, John Kerry, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama. Today, when we learn more and more information that was kept from the American people, similar to when Obamacare was forced upon us, we peel back the onion and realize all these other deals that were involved with it. Nobody is going to, the most liberal elected official in Washington, D.C., is going to look at Iran and be able to tell you that this is a state sponsor of terror. There's nothing good that the regime in Iran is doing on the global stage. And yet, why you think that they're going to be good stewards in a deal like this? I mean, it boggles your mind. It's again, there's a mindset on the left that if we equal the playing field, if we're not aggressive, if we don't interfere in foreign entanglements, everything will be okay. If I don't bother you, you won't bother us. What was the reason why 9/11 happened to begin with? Al-Qaeda was upset that we were in Saudi Arabia during the Gulf War. We were protecting the kingdom. We were protecting religious areas in Mecca, in Riyadh, in Medina. This was all about what Saddam Hussein wanted to launch, you know, Scud rockets and hit these religious centers. That's the only reason why we had a presence in Saudi Arabia was to protect the kingdom from Iraqi aggression.
We are at 803-0930, *930, 1-800-616-WBEN. I mean, David, I've got to believe, I mean, the Iranians are not stupid. And I've got to believe that they know that if these sleeper cells are activated on orders from Iran, or if they can be traced back to Tehran for any funding, inspiration, or any connection whatsoever, that Iran is going to face, I'll paraphrase what Trump said to North Korea, death and destruction, the likes of which the world has never seen before. Fire and destruction, the likes of which the world has never seen before. Because I just don't think Trump is going to tolerate Iran engaging in terror acts in the United States, even by proxy.
Well, we know that in Iran, these are 12er Shias, okay? These are the Shias that believe that the Messiah will come back, the whole well story, and they, you can look that up and talk about it yourself. But you have a Shia, you know, sect of Islam that is running the regime in Iran. And we know that the Wahhabi, the radical Sunnis, are the basis of what you see in Al-Qaeda and ISIS. How are you because if you ask Al-Qaeda, what is, you know, we want to kill Americans, we want to kill Jews, they also want to kill Shias. Yet Iran finds a way to work with ISIS to kill Americans and Jews. The arrangement there is very convoluted and crazy.
And he did say Wahhabi, not wasabi, so don't get all excited about food.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.